Hello, good morning. My name is Alexis Herrera, a student at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, currently in an environmental justice class, and today we'll be discussing a monologue, Starving to Death in Midtown, by Mindy Dickstein, performed by Mohammed Habib.
So maybe you heard about what happened this summer in New York City. No? Okay, let me tell you. Fill you in. The bees, my people as it were. Okay, so we're not actually people, but I'm going to speak in terms that you can understand. So I'm saying people. So maybe you can, you know, relate. I'm not going to buzz. There will be no cute little yellow and black striped suit. No antenna to make it easier for you to distance yourself from me. To make it possible for you to say, well, hey, he's only a bee. What you see here is, if you will, the essence of the bees. I am the essence. Me. I am the voice of my people. And my people are the bees. The bees of Midtown Manhattan. So, August 2015. Here's the situation. Pesticides, pollution, a dwindling source of basic flower nectar citywide. Do I have to paint you a picture? This is not about pastrami, okay? Not about the disappearance of your favorite sushi bar that you went to for 30 years, which just got shut down to make room for another phone company store. This is not about how food on the Lower East Side isn't what it used to be, or how you can't get a good pickle anymore. This is about poison. This is about stuff getting sprayed on my food, on my home, and killing me. You don't believe me? Check out this Harvard study, published in the June 2015 edition of the Bulletin of Insectology. Insectology, nice word, right? It says here that Harvard has found irrefutable proof, and I quote, sublethal exposure to neonicotinoids is likely the main culprit for the occurrence of colony collapse disorder. And by colony, they mean bees. My bees, which is to say my colony. CCD, that's right. It's so common it has an acronym. CCD caused by neonicotinoids. I say the word alone. Even I die a little. Neonicotinoids. Isn't it nice to know the exact name of the thing that's killing you? So this summer, starving to death in Midtown as we were, what with the neonicotinoids covering our food and smoking us out of our hives, as if that wasn't bad enough, the drought killing off whatever potentially fresh food supplies we had, we went a little nomad. We went a little nomad there on the corner of 57th and 7th Avenue. We went a little stark raving nomad. We started with a bicycle. It spoke to us. The handlebars, to be exact. We were 30,000 strong still, and by God, we were going to colonize that delivery bike. We formed a human hive, if you will, collecting on every surface of those handlebars. Chained, though, they were to a no-standing-anytime sign, until we became one humming, palpitating mass of handlebar-shaped bees. The symbolism was heart-crushing, a food delivery bike. And when they called in the cops to push us off, we were not discouraged. We moved on to 56th and Broadway, another symbolic stop along the way, a traffic light. We crowded into the red, an awesome force producing an almost human cry for stop, if I ever heard one. It was beautiful. But then we began losing our numbers. 25,000, then 20,000. Down to 15,000 we were. Nonetheless, determined to go forward. News crews followed us as we journeyed through Midtown. One block at a time, we tackled an Empire Szechuan at 54th and 6th. We hit a Banana Republic at 53rd and 5th. They showed up to cover what they had quickly realized was no mere colony migration, but a massive soul-sucking suicide mission. Because it was obvious we were dying, it was clear that we, a single thriving, gorgeous, honey-making, nectar-loving colony that once not too long ago stood almost 50,000 strong, we were going down. And if we were going down, we were taking a piece of the world down with us. We kept moving, mad with hunger and rage, until we were only 10,000, then 5,000, then 50. By then, we weren't news anymore. The camera crews closed down and drove away. No giant mass of bees attaching themselves to human objects. Well then, they said, forget about it. We had their attention when our numbers were large, our targets brilliantly symbolic. But no one hears you buzz when you're on the way out, when all you are swarming in a cardboard coffee cup. No one listens or notices that last writhing of bee fluff at the edge of Union Square crawling for his life toward that last rose of summer. Okay. Yeah, that one's a little tricky. It's that one keeps getting me, that same line.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Just say the last one.
Okay. No one listens or notices that last writhing of bee fluff at the edge of Union Square, crawling for his life toward that last one rose of summer. The hive is broken now. I am the last bee standing, the last of my colony, here to testify, to make this last plea for my people. How many more of us are out there starving to death in Midtown, starving to death in L.A., starving across the ocean? How much longer must we go on this way? When is someone going to join our fight? Because we're freaking bees, man, and there's only so much we can do alone. Okay, sure, Greenpeace cares. They have the idea. They're doing what they can, but are they enough? I mean, what does it take to make it stop? What does it take to stop the pesticides and the pollution that are destroying us? Don't let my death be in vain. Save the bees. Save my people. Now.
Hello, my name is Alexis Herrera, a student at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and we just finished listening to The Starving to Death in Midtown by Mindy Dickstein, and now we'll be having a discussion. In the room we have
Anthony Rodriguez,
Joel Pachardo,
Annabelle Mercado,
and Brian Williams.
Okay, so let's start. Anthony, why are bees an important part of human race? What do they do?
I mean, essentially we look at bees as like insects or like perhaps like one of those creatures where we often hear them buzz. They like to sting around, crawl into soda cans. But there's a lot more to it. I mean, they pollinate. When we look at pollination, we think about they carry seeds and pollen from one flower to another. And they fertilize, like, the plant so they can grow. And it's pretty much, we can by doing this, they're able to produce food for us. Usually with cross-pollination, it helps at least 30% of the world's crops and 90% of our wild plants to thrive. So, like, if you think about it, imagine a world without bees that can't pollinate our fruits or anything that we eat. Pretty much we're looking at a place where you can't really coexist and life itself would come to an end. It would be pretty much an agricultural collapse if you really want to look at it in the bigger picture.
That's interesting. Such a small creature does a lot for our environment, even though we take it for granted. So how do pesticides affect the bees?
As I'll tell you, neonicotinoids, yeah, it's a crazy word, let me tell you. It's a new class of insecticides chemically related to nicotine. The thing about neonicotinoids is that they're popular to farmers. And the reason why is because they don't have to repeatedly spray their crops with these chemicals, and it's also water-soluble. Also, neonicotinoids, the reason why they hurt bees is because it has nerve poisons and chronic damage. It impairs a sense of smell or memory, and it also reduces their ability to make babies, and they also alter feeding behaviors. They also reduce food intake, including reduced foraging in bees. And honestly, it's just like how Anthony was saying, without these bees, we are really unable to coexist.
What is causing colony collapse disorder?
So researchers think that colony collapse disorders may be caused by a number of interwoven factors. One of these factors involved global warming. The harsh weathers that the climate can sometimes bring, like such as downpours and flooding, cause the honeybees to basically migrate elsewhere. And also, global warming is one of these factors, and harsh weathers such as downpours and flooding are harmful to these bees. And when the spring comes around, the bees usually go through starvation. When the bees awake from their hibernation and the plants haven't bloomed yet, they usually go into starvation and they usually die. Also, another factor is pesticide uses on farms. For example, as we heard earlier, neonicotinoids is one of the toxic chemicals that are used on plants and are harmful to these bees. Another factor is habitat loss, usually abandoned farms and growing crops leaving habitat wildlife without any flowers and such causes the bees to die from starvation as well. Also, parasites are harmful mites that can cause the bees to die. They feed on their blood, and usually bees, they eventually die.
So now that we know how essential the bees are to our ecosystem and how they're going they're endangered species, what can be done to save the bees?
Well, there's several things that can be done to save the bees, including choosing organic means of pest control, things that don't necessarily try affect the bees as a byproduct of controlling pests, such as like avoiding neonicotinoids. We've heard how they're particularly dangerous to bees. Another way is to support local beekeepers. Here in New York City, just in the past 5 years, beekeeping actually became legal. You can now have a legal hive in New York City, and it's estimated, well, there are 200 registered hives in New York City right now, estimated that there are another 200 hives off the books. So pushing these initiatives to help get beekeeping everywhere is really beneficial to them too. Another thing is providing, making sure bees have fresh water, making sure that they have access to clean, fresh water to help them make their honey, which is what they eat. Another thing is urging the Environmental Protection Agency to test all pesticides and determine what impacts they would have on bees. And if there are negative impacts, they shouldn't be used.
This is the Environmental Justice class at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. My name is Alexis Herrera.
My name is Anthony Rodriguez.
My name is Joel Pichardo.
My name is Annabelle Mercado.
And my name is Brian Williams.
Thank you for listening.